This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome to today's ILTA podcast entitled Collaborating with Co-Counsel. How can you optimize collaboration between co-counsel in a litigation context? I'm your moderator today, Sean McClurg. I'm the litigation support manager for Miles & Stockbridge PC. I'm thrilled to be joined by our speaker, Jessica Sanghazen, Senior Counsel, Perkins Coie. Welcome, Jessica.
Thanks, Sean.
So we're just going to dive right in. Let's start with communication. These large cases can involve legal teams with numerous attorneys. What's the best way that you found to structure communication to balance keeping everyone informed without overwhelming inboxes?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question right there, right? So,
exactly.
You know, I found when working with, really large case teams, whether that's internally or with co-counsel externally, key is that everyone is getting regular updates. You know, not every single person needs to be on every single email, but you want to make sure that all the critical information is getting to all the stakeholders and all the decision makers. And so having, you know, a scheduled regular weekly email update is great so that everyone knows, you know, the status of all of the active action items. And also not just making sure that all of the attorneys involved know what's going on, but the client as well. So we'll oftentimes schedule a regular weekly check-in or bi-monthly check-in or whatever it may be with the client, with all the key decision makers, you know, the client stakeholders, and just make sure that they're fully apprised of what's going on as well. Obviously, they have the most skin in the game. It's their money at stake, and they need to be really closely involved and informed of what's going on.
Yeah, 100%. Is it something where sort of at the outset, you outline that communication strategy to everybody involved?
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, really like to have a roles and responsibilities call at the outset of a matter and just all get on the same page about who's responsible for what. You know, it really helps clear up any misunderstandings that might be related to, oh, I thought you were going to handle this. No, I thought that you're going to handle this. If at the outset, you know, everyone has at least a baseline understanding of like, okay, this area of the case is ours, this area of the case is yours. And it's not that, you know, you have people operating in silos, but there are individuals or individual firms who take responsibility for a particular area so that, you know who is supposed to be pushing things along and checking in and monitoring progress.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. Well, that sort of that very seamlessly leads us into sort of the next concept here, which is task allocation. So how does this differ? How does assigning attorneys for a particular task, say drafting a summary judgment or a brief for an issue, differ when you're working with attorneys across multiple firms versus how you would normally handle were you staffing it internally?
Yeah, that's a great question. In an ideal scenario, I think, this is my personal opinion, but I think you should staff tasks in these sorts of contexts no differently than how you would staff something internally, right? Which is maybe a little bit more complex when you have intra-firm politics at play and, you know, people can get a little bit territorial. But I think what is really important to focus on is that at the end of the day, you know, you are serving the same client and the same client interests, and everyone is working towards the same favorable outcome for the client. So you kind of have to set ego to the side and say, okay, well, you know, we have this person who is really great at e-discovery, say, since that's sort of my area of practice. And what I typically end up doing in these cases is, you know, I will be the point person on e-discovery. You know, you're a great writer. How about you take the lead on drafting motions and, you know, really work collaboratively and towards the same goal. It's sort of the stuff that, you know, my son is learning in preschool, right? Like you just have to learn to play nicely with others and to work cooperatively.
Yes. Being in sort of an antagonistic, you know, industry, that can be a challenge at times, you know, to work collaboratively versus, you know, sort of, you know, challenging one another. things of that nature.
Right. So, I mean, you get 10 litigators in a room, everyone's going to want to talk. Everyone is going to need to share their particular point of view, which is all great, right? That's what makes people great litigators. But at the end of the day, you kind of have to keep your eyes on what the ultimate goal is here. That's really quite key.
Right. Yeah. If it continues to get lost, just continue to sort of say, hey, we're servicing the same client here. Let's keep this ball moving forward.
Right.
Yeah. With that said, how are there tools out there? Are there any software tools out there that you found particularly useful for collaborating with co-counsel? And these could be anything from communication platforms, document management, task allocation, any of the above?
All of the above? does that work?
That does. Yes. Option D. Yeah. Perfect.
Right. We use a variety of methods to keep in touch, right? On certain cases, we've used our Perkins Extranet or another firm's Extranet. A lot of these Extranet sites have task modules, right? Like you can share documents and then also track tasks. And we might track major projects that way, is just in the tasks function. So everyone has pretty real-time insight into what everyone is working on, what's in progress, what hasn't been started. Obviously, you need some buy-in from the entire team to be able to use something like that, because if people are just working away and not updating the extranet, that doesn't work out super well. But in certain cases, I've found that works really nicely. The old school email, having an email distribution list that has everyone on it. So you are hitting, everyone at once. If you have a key update that the entire team needs to know about, the weekly check-in calls, this is not really a technology tool, but having an agenda for those meetings so that everyone comes prepared to talk about the topics that they're assigned to discuss. And then
That's critical. Yeah,
absolutely critical. Yeah. Document sharing, knowledge transfer, that's such a key aspect of what you're doing when you are in discovery in particular, where you're trying to distill a lot of information down to what is going to be key to actually try your case. And we've used a variety of different, I guess, case management software to be able to do that. We've used Evercron, we've used Allegory in the past, we've used Opus 2 Magnum, and tools like that are all really useful to allow co-counsel to collaborate in a central location and to have some of that work product live outside of email inboxes.
Yeah. What have you found to be sort of a challenge or a pitfall in managing this process? Like, what should somebody for the first time doing this sort of keep an eye out for? And to sort of tack on to this question, how has sort of the events of the past couple of years with people working from home more, things of that nature, sort of affected this process, if at all?
Right. I mean, there's human issues and then there's process issues. So with the human aspect of it, there's just sort of the natural, jealousy or push and pull territorialness that comes with our firm does this and your firm does that. And, we want to maintain our client relationship. And if something goes wrong, who takes responsibility who takes ownership of the thing that went wrong. And again, it's such a big thing, a really challenging thing to put ego to the side and to work collaboratively and cooperatively in that context. So that is, I think, a really common pitfall, is where you have co-counsel who are ostensibly working together, who are actually working at cross purposes because they each want to look good, right? They each want to look like they're the firm that's really on top of things. So having some degree of human connection, of building those relationships between firms, I think goes such a long way towards obviating that, towards avoiding that particular issue, because you're not going to throw your friends under the bus, right? So if you have those collegial, collaborative relationships, that goes a really long way. there are also some process issues, right, where you are having to manage knowledge and process transfer across typically a long period of time, and you're going to have turnover across firms typically. You know, associates come in and out, people get busy, they need to do other things. So how do you make sure that all that key information is captured so that you don't miss a step when someone leaves the team or needs to duck out or, you know, goes on parental leave or something like that.
Right. And there's not a knowledge loss
right,
that occurs.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I think the way to avoid at least some of that is to document process, is to write memos, having a task tracking software of some sort, you know, that does help to some extent because you have a historical record of, you know, this is what we did and this is the date right. that we did it on. And sometimes there are some notes about like why we did it. It's all complicated, right? It's really complicated, difficult stuff. At the end of the day, it really comes down to people and communication and making sure that everyone is on the same page and rowing the boat in the same direction.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like an incredibly Herculean task. And I'm so glad that we have people like you who can help shed light on making a task that is so, I don't know, so enormous, seems so, I don't know, simple, at least in its on its face when it's clearly not. Obviously, there are very clearly sort of steps that can be taken to make it less painful than it would otherwise be.
And likewise, you know, Sean, you're a litigation support manager, and what I've neglected to say is that, you know, litigators might like to talk and get their opinions in and may have differences of opinion. But what I've also found is that sometimes bringing in subject matter experts to talk about issues really brings down the temperature of the conversation. And oftentimes I've found that speaking, you know, e-discovery professional to e-discovery professional, we can get a lot more done than having, say, merits counsel in the room.
Yes. Agreed. Well, I want to thank you so very much for the audience for tuning in to today's podcast. I want to extend my thanks to Jessica. Have a wonderful day, everyone, and thank you very much.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.